Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. And also we have our good friend, Corey Anderson, with us today as we look again at the book, Changed Through His Grace, a book written by Brad Wilcox, a BYU professor. It came out in 2017, so I wouldn't say that this is an old 19th century book that probably should be forgotten, but there are a lot of things that Mr. Wilcox says in this book that I think as Christians we should be aware of, because we will not be surprised at all if we hear of Mormons giving a copy of this book to their Christian counterparts, saying to them, see, there isn't much of a difference between us at all. Today we're looking at chapter 9, Transformed by Grace. How does that start off, Eric?
It says, many Christians see immortality and eternal life as the same thing, but Latter-day Saints understand they are different. The Lord said, quote, for behold, this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and eternal life of man, end quote. And that's from Moses 1:39 in the Pearl of Great Price. Immortality describes living forever, and eternal life describes the life lived by our heavenly parents.
Now, we've been saying this all along, that there is a distinction in the understanding of what that word salvation means. The Mormons divide it into two categories: general salvation, which is given to everybody regardless of belief or practice, whatever they've done in this life, and then there's a personal salvation known as eternal life or godhood. What Wilcox is citing from Dallin Oaks goes right along with what we've been saying, that there is this difference. And sometimes if a Mormon doesn't make it clear what salvation they are referring to, you might assume they're talking about that salvation that is only given freely by God's grace, by faith in what Jesus did on the cross. And a Mormon might be thinking, no, it only has to do with resurrection from the dead. If you're not understanding the language, you could be misunderstanding each other. In fact, you probably will be misunderstanding each other. But Wilcox goes on at the bottom of page 166 to elaborate on what Dallin Oaks has said.
Yeah, he said Elder Oaks has written this salvation, again, talking about celestial glory or eternal life, requires more than repentance and baptism by appropriate priesthood authority. It also requires the making of sacred covenants, including eternal marriage in the temples of God, and faithfulness to those covenants by enduring to the end. Because of these expectations, some people assume that we are saved by grace, but exalted by our own works. This is not the case. Exaltation is a gift of grace. It is grace at its finest. Grace can not only get us to heaven, but it can give us the desire to stay. This type of salvation offers victory over our first estate, or premortality, and our second estate, mortal life, and constitutes the opportunity to be changed and become like God.
When he says, because of these expectations, the expectations that Dallin Oaks has given, that look, if you're going to receive this salvation known as eternal life or exaltation, it's going to require more than repentance and baptism by appropriate priesthood authority. It's going to require the making of sacred covenants. And as we've discussed in this series, these covenants include a promise to keep all the commandments. Also, it includes eternal marriage and temples and faithfulness to those covenants by enduring to the end. Now, how Brad Wilcox can say to us that this is not a concept of being saved by grace but exalted by works is beyond me from the way we look at what the New Testament is teaching. This is certainly a case of thinking that you're exalted by works. Now, he can say this is not the case, but it is. And I think most thinking people will see through this if they understand what Mormonism is teaching. And the reason I say that is earlier in the book, he quotes Robert Millet, who said, in him is the power which may be extended to become the sons and daughters of God, the means whereby we may receive our status in the royal family of God. At the end of that quote by Millett, Wilcox says, exaltation is not earned. It is inherited. What do you mean, it is not earned? That's exactly what Thomas Monson said. In a conference message that Thomas Monson gave in April of 1988, and it's found in the Ensign for May of 1988 on page 56, he says, it is the celestial glory which we seek. That would be eternal life or exaltation in a Mormon vernacular. Monson goes on to say, it is in the presence of God we desire to dwell. It is a forever family in which we want membership. Such blessings must be earned. Thomas Monson said, if you want that, it must be earned. But yet, Wilcox says, exaltation is not earned.
When you have two different opinions, one a BYU professor, another who is the president of the church, which one is a Latter-day Saint supposed to follow?
Most Mormons are aware that a BYU professor, such as a Brad Wilcox, has no authority in the Mormon church to contradict the teachings of a general authority.
But is it possible that a guy like Brad Wilcox might have more influence in the Mormon church than even somebody like a Thomas Monson?
That could possibly be, only because I would think they would see in the message given by a Brad Wilcox that this seems to be the more reasonable, maybe even the more easy way to go. But in the context of Mormonism, is it the right way to go?
This is, when it came out in 2017 in February, a top 10 selling book. But I've gone into the Deseret bookstore purchasing a church manual, Teachings of the Presence of the Church. It was a few years ago, so I forget which one it was. And the lady behind the counter was inquisitive. She says, you're not LDS and you're reading this book? She says, I'm LDS and I don't read it and nobody else does. And I asked her, well, what do you do when you go to the gospel doctrine class? She says, well, you just kind of follow along, but nobody reads that stuff.
But Corey, you were saying off air that when you went to purchase your copy of Change Through His Grace, what did the lady tell you?
Yeah, the young lady, I said, I'm looking for Brad Wilcox, his new book. And she said, oh, yeah, that's a fantastic book. I really enjoyed reading it.
Oh, I bet she did.
They had it right there, and I walked right past it. It was in display right by the door.
Well, there are some other things that he says in this chapter, and I'm looking at your page, Corey. You've got it all marked up, so why don't you just kind of take the reins and go ahead on this one?
Sure. You know, some of the things that stood out to me in this chapter, I mean, of course, because we're talking about requirements in order to inherit eternal life or celestial glory, I mean, part of that, of course, is this whole idea of becoming like God. He begins that on page 167. I think what stood out for me in some respects is sometimes the lack of what is said. I remember a couple of missionaries cold calling me years ago when I first moved to Utah, and they wanted to talk to me about how I could become like Heavenly Father. And I said to them, I said, could I just ask you to clarify what you mean by that, like Heavenly Father? And they said, well, you know, to be like Him. And I said, well, I think what you're trying to tell me is that I can become a God, is that not correct? And, you know, they didn't really want to get into that over the phone. And I said, well, I know that's what you're really meaning. So, I mean, if you want to just say that. And I wish Wilcox would just boldly state that. What he does in this is he certainly talks about godly potential and what we can become on page 168. But in this whole context of our godly potential, of getting to celestial glory, becoming a God ourselves, he makes this statement about after the resurrection and what heaven would be like, and it just grabbed my attention. It's on page 168, top of 169. He said, what is the purpose of resurrection and forgiveness if they only restore the status quo? To what end are we born again if we cannot also be reared to spiritual adulthood? What is the purpose of escaping ignorance and hell if heaven does not offer something more than becoming harp-strumming angels sitting on clouds? What good is life after death if progress ends? What good is finally reaching heaven if we cannot use what we have learned to help and benefit others? The answers to all these questions are found only in discovering and embracing our celestial potential. I read that quote and it just sort of makes me think to myself, There's something missing in this, and it's the person of Jesus. He's not there at all.
It reminds me of that video that they make you watch before you go visit a temple open house. It's got Jeffrey Holland there talking about how heaven wouldn't be heaven without his wife and kids. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, where is Jesus in this equation? Like you just brought up, Jesus doesn't seem to be even an afterthought for a lot of Latter-day Saints. In fact, most of the time when you ask a Latter-day Saint, what is it that you seek after you die? What are you looking for in the next life? It's, I want to be with my family. I don't think I've ever had a Mormon tell me, I'm looking forward to being with Jesus.
Right.
Now, if I was to tell them that was what my goal is, maybe they might backpedal and say, oh, yeah, I want that too. Mm-hmm. But interesting, they won't bring that up as first and foremost.
No, and to say what is the purpose of resurrection and forgiveness if they only restore the status quo, it sounds so ho-hum, humdrum. Well, we have resurrection and forgiveness. I guess we're just back at the status quo, as opposed to looking at it and saying, praise God, we have salvation. We have resurrection. Reminds me of Revelation chapter 4 and 5 when we get this glimpse of the throne room and where there is in the throne, you have Jesus and we are gathered around the throne and people are crying out. The 24 elders, they're all bowing down in worship and they're praising Jesus, and that's heaven.
When he talks about there's got to be something more than becoming harp strumming angels Sitting on clouds.
Yes.
That almost sounds word for word an email that I received from a Latter-day Saint many years ago when he used that same type of analogy to point out that to him, that would be utter boredom.
Hmm.
But what does the Book of Mormon teach? See, this is what he doesn't bring out. The Book of Mormon has something to say about what we are going to be doing in the next life as a saved individual. In Mormon 7:7, what does it say, Eric?
It says, and he hath brought to pass the redemption of the world, whereby he that is found guiltless before him at the judgment day hath it given unto him to dwell in the presence of God in his kingdom, to sing ceaseless praises with the choirs above unto the Father and unto the Son and unto the Holy Ghost, which are one God in a state of happiness, which hath no end.
Now, why doesn't Brad Wilcox bring that up? In fact, I would venture to say that based on what you just read and what he just said, he would probably find that to be ho-hum.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's troubling.
That's sad. It is.
And when I've had Latter-day Saints tell me that would be boring, worshiping Jesus, as you just described from the book of Revelation, and I've mentioned to them, I says, you know why that's probably boring to you? It's because you don't have the same relationship with Jesus mm-hmm. that I have. Well, tomorrow we're going to be wrapping up our discussion of this book, Changed Through His Grace by Brad Wilcox.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. When sharing your faith with a Latter-day Saint, it helps to know what their church has taught on several basic topics. For this reason, Mormonism Research Ministry has provided its Crash Course Mormonism. Crash Course Mormonism includes concise articles highlighting what LDS leaders and church manuals have taught on issues that will probably come up in a typical conversation. You can find these informative articles at CrashCourseMormonism.com. That's CrashCourseMormonism.com.